This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to this live stream. Today I'm with Sheikh Abdurrahim Green and we're going to be discussing self-mastery, willpower. Sheikh, tell us about this course, which I'm sure many, many people have heard of now. They've been seeing it in their emails, seeing posts, social media posts about it. So what's so special about this course?
I guess partly it's a topic that is really close to my heart. I've always been interested in psychology, and obviously for a huge part of my life, I've been very interested in Islam. And one of the things that I have sort of realized as I've sort of dived deeper into the spiritual dimensions, the whole dimension of tazkiyatul nafs, and I guess what it means to be a Muslim on a sort of deeper spiritual level. I mean, it's not deeper in the sense that it's not accessible. This is accessible to everybody, and it's something that every Muslim should try to acquire, right? And meaning, what I really mean is, being a Muslim is not just about fasting, praying five times a day. All of these things have a significance that is way, way more important than just the external aspects. It's all about internal change. So I guess that's what it's all about. It's all about how do you change yourself, right? Yeah. And in order to change yourself, you first of all have to have some idea of who yourself or what yourself actually is in the first place, because how are you going to change something which you have no idea about? Yeah. And then that's a whole different subject, Sabur, bro. Like knowing yourself, being honest with yourself. Most of us struggle with self-honesty, right? Yeah. And that is because, obviously, because our ego has constructed an image of who we think we are and who we think we're supposed to be based on, anyway, a whole bunch of things. And all of us, I don't think anyone gets to the end of that struggle, right? But again, it's all tied in with ikhlas, sincerity, which is so important. Like what is anything you do in Islam if you don't have ikhlas? But then again, if you don't know yourself, if you don't know what motivates you, if you're not honest with yourself about why you do what you do, how are you ever going to be sincere, right? So the whole subject of knowing yourself, and then once you begin to know yourself, how do you master yourself? How do you control yourself? How do you get your, that part of you that is just your whims and your passions and your desire? How do you control it and get yourself to do the things that you know that you have to do in order to get to Jannah, the things that you know that you have to do in order to be a better person and live a better life, right? It all comes down, like you can have all of these, you can talk all you like, Tony Robbins, he can give you, the awaken the giant within. Well, I guess he's got the right idea. It's about the giant within. And to be fair to him, he's got the right idea as well, in the sense that it's really about what's inside yourself. But you can read all the books about rich dad, poor dad, how to be a millionaire, how to be a billionaire, how to be this, how to be that. But none of it means anything if you don't know how to control yourself, if you don't have self-discipline, if you don't have self-mastery, if you can't build good habits and break bad habits. Because that's another essential component of it, habit building. It's all actually part of the same thing. Then what can you achieve in life? Almost nothing, right? So I sort of almost randomly came across, not randomly, just why, so it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I guess. I started looking into this whole topic of willpower and was very fascinated by this, like, now famous marshmallow experiment that was done in the University of Berkeley in California, which is this like hotbed of psychological research. And although there's been some questions around, obviously all scientific, studies come up with, quite rightly, because that's science, right? They come under scrutiny and they come under question, and things that were held to be, completely true, their question, and like, was that really true at all? But notwithstanding, right, there's some stuff that once you know it, it makes so much sense. And so anyway, this famous marshmallow experiment was really about basically what this guy was doing, his professor, I don't remember his name, he was trying to find out what strategies kids used to resist temptation. That's all he was really doing. And by the way, really, that's what my course is about. my course is literally about that. What, and the funny thing is, a lot of the strategies the kids use are the same strategies that I teach in my course, right? Like, what strategies can you use in order to resist temptation in order to achieve a long-term goal? And basically, that's the sort of definition of willpower. Willpower is not some mystical Jedi ability to levitate an object, yeah, and get your lightsaber to come to your hand, or, you know, like, that's what people think willpower is. It's some sort of like power that it's not. It's just a set of tricks and strategies that you use within your own mind in order to not give in to temptation, yeah, right, and actually achieve a goal that is more important in the long term. So they did this with the marshmallow. They gave these kids one marshmallow. They put it right in front of them. Yeah. And then they said, if you don't eat that marshmallow, you can have two or three or four or whatever it is. And they didn't even give the time. They didn't even say how long. They didn't say in 5 minutes, 10 minutes. They just said, if you resist that, you'll get more later, right? It was that simple, right? And then they were filming the kids to see, like, what did they do? How did they? Some of them wouldn't look at it. Some of them were like, they're doing all these things, distracting. Some touched it and sniffed it and then put it back, and some ate it, obviously, like almost. So here's the interesting thing, right? Is that the professor, his kids were at the same school as these kids they had done the experiment with. And then his kids kept telling him about what had happened to these kids, right? Oh, this one did this, this one did that. And, you know, he started following them over and he realized that there was a correlation between the kids who had been able to resist temptation and those who hadn't, and what you could call positive life outcomes. Yeah. So the kids who had been able to resist temptation, who had basically developed techniques to resist temptation, they earned more money, they were healthier, they were less likely to become drug addicts, their marriages were more successful. They had better income, they had better jobs, you know, they stuck with those jobs for longer. Like, you know, basically all the things, that benchmarks that you could put as, you know, leading a successful life. Yeah. Whereas the kids who couldn't resist temptation, right? Guess what? They were drug addicts, they were alcoholics, they were criminals, they went to jail, right? They had bad jobs, their relationships didn't last, right? So this correlation that he found between the ability to resist temptation and successful life outcomes. I mean, the interesting thing was, it's the only thing they've really been able to identify as a factor that carries on from childhood to adulthood, that actually sort of can in some way predict how a person is going to be. Like, so it's extraordinary. You'd think that maybe child abuse or being raped or being sexually abused would really define what sort of human being you're going to be. No, it doesn't. Right? Poverty and wealth. No, it doesn't. Right? What does is your ability to resist temptation, actually, really. And so, I mean, for parents, Sabor, right? As a parent, you need to know this stuff, right? Yeah. Even if you don't do the willpower course for yourself, right? You need to know how to teach your kids these techniques. Yeah. Yeah. So like when I came across this, I thought, oh, you know, I just thought, wow, this is like, you know, because obviously as a Muslim, you know, the funny thing is, Sabo, I've never struggled a lot with big haram things, right? Like something is very haram. Yeah, it's a big sin. You know, I think most of the ones everyone consider big sin. Alhamdulillah, Allah saved me from it. You know, like I'm terrified of hellfire. I'm afraid of Allah, right? You know, but I do struggle with things that I know would, you know, I've always struggled with things that are lifestyle choices that should be better, right? That are still important Islamically, but they're just not big, right? It's just like, it's not the sort of stuff that's going to send you to hell, right? But, it, you know, you don't want to be fat in your life. You don't want to be unhealthy. You don't, you know, like I eat, I'm you and me, we're the same, right? Seafood, you know, we're on the seafood diet. We seafood and we eat it, yeah? And we probably don't exercise. I mean, I really love exercise, but I just don't exercise as much as I should, right? I simply don't, right? And a lot of the time I have to force myself to exercise, even when I enjoy it. It's crazy, right? So a lot of things that we know we should do in our life, good life choices, I don't make them. Because why? Because I give into temptation, right? So this is where I found this skill set really useful, right? Yeah. Because it's not like you can say to me, oh, fear Allah, right? I say, well, is it haram? Is chocolate haram? Sabur? Say, yeah. No, Abdurrahim, it's not. Like, okay, so what are you talking about then? No, but you and me know that there's better choices we could make in our life about what we eat, how we exercise, how we live. And it even goes down to things like, you know, one of the things I found that, subhanAllah, since I did this willpower course, bro, since I, you know, developed it, my relationship, even with my wife, improved hugely, huge improvement, because I found that these techniques, you know, work in places that you never even imagined, right? Like, you may take this course thinking that, yeah, I'm going to lose weight. But what you find is it really, really helps you in your relationship with your wife or your parents or at work or all sorts of things, because it has a very, very wide application. You've done it, Sabor, isn't it, bro?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just wanted to add to the mix, education. You need a lot of points for that. You said seafood diet. I mean, I said this to you before that, you know, I was just like a pig. Like, honestly, someone brought food to me, I'd be like, oh yeah, just eat the food. There was no thinking. You've seen how fat I've yo-yoed over the years, right?
Yeah. And well, both of us done that, but yeah.
Yeah. I think doing your course taught me simple strategies, right? Yeah. They're like the 10-minute rule, where we're going to go over this, right? We can go over it later. But things which allowed me to go from the seafood diet to actually being able to not eat food for 36 hours.
Wow.
And not finding that difficult. Like, currently I'm also fasting, right? After my last meal. So doing 20 hours is a joke. It's nothing for me now. Mm. Previously, do you know what, a pizza? Yeah, sure. Okay, this guy bought chocolate. And I was just ballooning, right? And it affects your mood, affects your relationship, affects your concentration. You feel lethargic around this time of the day.
Yep. We're doing energy levels
Yeah, it's nearly 8 o'clock. I'd normally be just conked. I'd be out of it. What I would say is it changes your entire life. It's not just weight.
Just for anyone listening, if you're interested already, if you're thinking like, I need this in my life, you can go to masteryclasses.com. So the way it works is that you sign up and you sign up to a mini course. It's three, you get three emails over 3 days, basically. And it's like a mini course. It's like a mini introduction covering some of the stuff that we're going to be covering today and some other stuff. If you're able to get your way through those 3 days, then you'll be given an offer, right, to buy the course. Yeah. So you sort of have to get through stage one first. If you don't get through,
open
the second and third emails, right? That's it. You don't get to join. It's like, you can't just sign up, right? You have to go through, because, to be honest, the funny thing is, and one of the guys working on this project, he used to joke, he said, in order to do, you need willpower to do the willpower course, right? And it's actually true. Just in order to be able to do the course, you either need to be really, really, really desperate, right? When it's someone so desperate, they'll do anything. Yeah. Or you need to have a bit of willpower. But I literally constructed it to make it as easy as possible, right? I've tried to make it so easy. Like, I think you watch a video a day for 2 weeks. That's how it goes. And so each video, like, it's not more than what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maximum 10 minutes per video. You literally could do it in the morning. I think even with the program, there's not the specific course, there's an app. Even I think Kajabi has an app because it's on the Kajabi platform. And literally what you do is you listen to one talk, right? And I give you an exercise to practice every day, right? Because willpower, it's a willpower exercise, right? It's not a physical exercise. You don't have to do any stretching or yoga, but you do have to do some breathing, right? One of the things we teach is how to breathe properly. Like, a lot of people don't know how to breathe, right? So we teach some breathing techniques, but we also just, there's little, like, it's just like, today, practice this. Yeah. Today, see if you can, spot this or that, right? And so by the time you've gone through 2 weeks, you know, you've practiced, you know, 14 different strategies, at least for a day, right? And, you know, that's it. At the end of the day, you know, you can get back to it as many times as you want because it's yours, you know. So as long as it's there, you can keep going back to it. But to be honest, even I think you've gone through the course once, you've practiced, you know, you've developed, hopefully you've broken one, you'll break. It takes more than 14 days to break a bad habit or to build a new one. It takes probably a minimum of 30 days. It can take, to be honest, up to 6 months or even a year. Like they say, 30 days to build a new habit. It's not, no. 30 days is just to start, really, right? It's very rare that you'll be able to do it in 30 days, I think. But, you know, 30 days will give you a really good feeling of what it might be like to live like the way you want to live. So, I mean, that's basically the structure of the course. It's really super easy, you know. I think the main obstacle between, you know, any one of you and doing the course is literally Shaitan. Because, you know, like I used to say, Shaitan does not want you to do this course because this is really going to make his job a lot harder, you know, which is a good thing, right?
Yeah, and definitely. And I remember you actually speaking to me about this a few years ago. You said, bro, I actually think Shaitan doesn't want this to go out. It's actually one of his strategies, right? Yeah. And you related it to actually in one of your earlier videos to the narration of the Prophet Sallam about Jannah and Jahannam and hardship and ease. Hardship and pleasure. So maybe if you go over that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I mentioned that in the mini course, you know, I talk about that, you know, that Allah sent Jibreel to look at paradise and hellfire. And, you know, obviously paradise was surrounded by, you know, difficulties and hardships and challenges, and hellfire was surrounded by temptations and luxury and ease. So like literally getting to hellfire means, you know, avoiding temptation, and going to paradise literally means wading your way through challenges and difficulties. How are you going to do that if you don't have willpower? How are you going to achieve that without willpower, right? So, you know, like it's such a key ingredient. Willpower is such an important thing for you to build, right? Yeah. Now, I have thought about this, and I definitely think, obviously, taqwa, you know, like, to be honest, this course is really, even a non-Muslim could do this course, although I've really structured this course and I had a big debate within myself, right? When I first did this, I thought, shall I make this a course for everybody, right? Mm. You know, should I be the Muslim Tony Robbins, you know, whatever, right? And just do a course that, and then I thought, you know what, at the end of the day, the people I'm really, you know, connect to, the people who know me, it's the Muslim community, right? And there's a lot of, and what I also found, Sabor, bro, is a lot of our brothers and sisters, unfortunately, they look at some of this which is really useful, which I wouldn't be afraid for you to look at it, for example. But there's other people who are less knowledgeable, less insightful, haven't spent the time, you know, building their foundation. And literally is what I found, you know, I've recommended books to people and they've come back to me and say, why did you recommend that book to me? You know, it's full of kufr and shirk. Yeah. And it's like, yeah. And I thought, you know, for a minute, I thought, for God's sake. And then I thought, no, actually, that's the reality. People want people like you and me, right? Like, would you tell everyone to go and read all those books on evolution that you've been? No, you wouldn't. You absolutely wouldn't, bro. You've gone and you studied the philosophy of science, right? And before that, you've built a strong foundation with Hamza, right? With all the stuff that he's taught, with your own knowledge base, right? Being firmly rooted in the Quran and Sunnah. And then with that filter in place, you can go, right? It's the same thing with a lot of this psychology stuff, bro. A lot of it is highly influenced by Buddhism, by even atheism, you know, by you know, materialism. So you can get really derailed, right? And so I thought, no, actually, that's our job. Our job is to read this stuff, take out the stuff that is good, put it in the Islamic context, right? And then represent it to our brothers and sisters so that they can benefit from it. And that's basically what I've done. I've basically taken this stuff and, you know, put it through the filter of the Quran and Sunnah. I've given examples that almost all are examples from the history and from the example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from the history of Islam. So it's a very Islamic course from that point of view as well, right? So yeah, masteryclasses.com, sign up. At least try doing the free course. It's totally free. You get three videos one day after the other, and give it a try. And if you like it, you can take it further or not. It's up to you.
Yeah. And I'll,
or it may not be up to you. It may be shaitan.
Shaitan's trying to interfere. Yeah. It's quite funny. One of the sisters wrote here, shaitan doesn't want you to like, subscribe and share. Don't do what shaitan wants. Something I think everybody should be quite candid to admit is that we all have a scrolling problem. Scrollism. We're just continuously scrolling. The scrolling system is designed like gambling, right?
It's the dopamine hit. And you talked about dopamine a lot. And it's called the original course was called the Seven Pillars of Willpower. And one of the pillars of understanding willpower is understanding dopamine. It's like literally one of the pillars. It's probably like once you know about dopamine, just knowing about it, it's like a penny drops. It's like, oh my God, that's what's happening. That's what's going on inside me. When you literally feel you're possessed, right? And you're reaching for that slice of pizza, even though you don't even want to, you're not even hungry. You're feeling sick already. Like you've had five bars of chocolate and you're reaching for another one. Why? It's dopamine. Dopamine has literally taken over your brain. It is. And that's actually what it does. It literally cuts off the access to the thinking, pausing, planning, willpower part. So the part of your brain that actually is involved in willpower, which is pausing, planning, thinking, is the prefrontal cortex, right? Dopamine cuts off access to your prefrontal cortex, right? So it becomes really hard to think clearly. And it's there. It literally causes you to act impulsively. That's what it does. That's the job of it. It creates an irritation, an urge in you. That's what dopamine is. It's not a pleasure chemical. If you find someone saying dopamine is the pleasure chemical, you can like, this guy is just, he hasn't read properly, right? Dopamine is not a pleasure chemical. It drives you towards pleasure, right? But itself is not pleasurable. Actually, dopamine is it's an adjutant. It agitates you, right? It motivates you. That's why, for example, people who have Alzheimer's disease, the problem is their dopamine. They are not really, their dopamine receptors are not working properly, and they don't feel motivated. And because they're not feeling motivated, that's it. So dopamine is actually really important. It's hugely important. It's not a bad thing. Right. What is obviously really essential is for us is to learn to control it, is to understand it and control it and regulate it and not allow it to derail, the behaviors that we want to have in our life. Right.
Yeah.
So these mobile phones, these things are designed on purpose to be addictive. They fire our dopamine. And then what does it do? This whole scrolling, right? It's all to do with pleasure. So what are we on this little screen here? What am I seeing? Things that I think are going to give me pleasure. Maybe in this email is a course that is going to change my life, like masteryclasses.com. But seriously, that's what it will do. You think, maybe I'm going to get something from some person that's going to change my life, right? Maybe I'm going to see some meme that is going to, and a lot of it may be good, right? A lot of it may be stuff that you really, is good. Or, I find myself scrolling through Instagram feeds for hours and just giggling and laughing. And sometimes I'm just reading and sometimes I'm in total awe about something in Allah's creation. It is this whole river of, various experiences, right? That, by the way, the algorithms are tuned. Like the more you use it, the more it knows what works for you. So the more addictive it gets, because it's literally feeding into your particular addictions, right? It's quite scary. But it's all dopamine. That's what it does. And dopamine really is cutting off that pausing, planning, thinking, like, do I really want to spend this much time doing that?
Yeah.
And the whole thing is designed not to let you think, but to make you act. And then obviously as a platform for selling things, it's very powerful. Because, you know, if you're in that state of being disconnected, of being in a dopamized, I don't know what the term is, dopamized state, that's probably a, you know, dopamized state, then obviously if something is presented to you that's attractive, you're going to buy it. You'll just buy it intuitively. Like, you won't be thinking about buying it. You won't pause and plan. You'll just press that. And of course, everything is set up to make it super easy for you just to purchase it like that, you know, one click and, you know, it's on your credit card, right?
Yeah.
So it's all designed just to make you into this sort of thoughtless machine of dopamine addiction. And so, yeah, it's and again, the course will, you know, masteryclasses.com, sign up for that. But yeah, it will help you deal with that a little bit. You know, it will help you. But the point is, if you want to deal with, I mean, like, I guess both you and me, maybe we should, you know, get together and set ourselves a target. It would be quite a good idea, right? Since we have a scrolling problem, self-confessed scrolling problem. Would you like to cut down on your scrolling time, Subur? Okay. Absolutely. So, I mean, that the first thing we do is that's what you decide. You have to set yourself some smart goals, right? So your goals need to be specific, they need to be measurable, they need to be achievable, they need to be realistic, and they need to be timely. So basically what you need to do is set yourself a goal, right, that is something you can realistically achieve within a time frame and that you can measure it. Yeah. So you can say, I am not going to allow myself, you know, I'm not going to allow myself to go on the mobile phone at all for more than 2 hours a day. Right, or whatever it is, yeah, because I guess even on a laptop you can do some scrolling, right? But
I mean, like you mentioned, willpower is a set of strategies,
yeah,
which are not limited to a certain number, to stop yourself from temptation. So, very simple things like, you know, I had this addiction of scrolling through Twitter, and a friend said, well, why don't you just delete it from your phone and try and use it on your laptop. And I just stopped using Twitter. I haven't used it like hard.
Absolutely. That's a really good strategy. And I've done that with apps. You know, there's quite a few apps that I've just deleted. I just partly because I thought, I mean, I realized this is a waste of time. But I could easily see myself wasting a lot of time, but I just deleted it because I thought, like TikTok, I deleted after 2 weeks. I thought this is a real waste of time. But people have tried since then to tell me, actually, you can find good stuff on TikTok. But I hardly use it. Twitter, I never got into using Twitter, partly again, because I can see how really, really addictive it can be. So you're right, though. There are little simple strategies that you can employ, and those are obvious ones. So, like, just removing yourself from temptation is a simple strategy, right? So a lot of the things is, you know, we talk about that in the course, right? I talk about that in the course, the environment that you're in, the impact the environment has, the impact that friends have, and other important things. Stress has a really, you know, negative effect on your willpower. That's one of the seven pillars, actually, is the effect of stress. So,
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things which we have to keep in mind, I hope everybody is keeping in mind, is that Ramadan's just around the corner.
Yeah.
And Ramadan is a time in which we are forced by a deadline to actually employ these willpower strategies, because it's in our mind. Okay, we will absolutely not, you know, eat during this period and, you know, drink and so on and so forth. And we'll, for example, spend more time with the Quran. We'll do this, we'll do that.
Yeah.
So we know we have it within us, but that's an external imposition, which is forcing us to do it. And the power of this course is it teaches you how you can impose from within. You can give deadlines within. You can set goals within. I think that's the key thing, because we all know we have it. People say, I don't really have willpower. That's not true at all.
Anyone, to be honest, anyone who fasts Ramadan is exerting an incredible amount of self-restraint and and basically willpower. Yeah, they're practicing self-discipline, self-mastery. But the question is that unless you understand the strategies, and like, that's the interesting thing, like, why are we releasing? So basically the course is literally only open for a week. Yeah. So basically on Monday it's shut. You won't be able to, and we do open it maybe twice a year. Yeah. So it only gets open for a very short time. Yeah. Why are we doing it before Ramadan? Right. Well, there's no better time to practice these strategies than during Ramadan. Right. And like I said, it's not going to take a huge amount of time. It's 10 minutes. Yeah. And you will definitely find yourself practicing these strategies in Ramadan anyway. Right. And literally there's no better time to do this course than, you know, than in Ramadan, mashallah. And like you said, you know, Ramadan's an external factor, but you know, a lot of the time, this is the thing I'm saying, is that a lot of the time we do things in Islam, right, but we don't really necessarily understand why we are doing them, you know, like what is the actual reason. You're right there, Sabor, you just disappeared. Sabor has just disappeared off the screen. I don't know, he was fiddling around. I think maybe there was a crocodile snapping at his feet. Well, he's disconnected the cables or something like that. Yeah, so brothers and sisters, you know, it's masteryclasses.com, masteryclasses.com. Sign up, you'll get a mini free course that is just like three emails that you'll get over 3 days, and then you're invited to join the main course, which, like I said, closes on Monday. So it's open until Monday. Oh, change, suddenly your background has changed. Wow.
Absolutely. And that's the power of this course. You have the willpower to change things at work.
Well, that's one of the things, bro. Change your state. Right, that's actually one of the strategies in counter ambush training. Yeah, that's actually one of the strategies, you know. So interesting. You go on mute, bro. I can't hear you. You're muted.
Yeah, sorry, I just muted myself because somebody was in the background speaking. So you know, going back to this factor, of the counter ambush, right? I think this is one of the most powerful things about the course, because it actually teaches you that you have triggers. They are environmental and social cues which trigger this mechanism of dopamine release, which causes you to go towards that pleasure. So I think environment, and I just changed environment, incidentally. Yeah. I think environment is something, I think if you highlight a few points about this, because that's one of the powerful things about the course, you know, about
So basically, you know, counter ambush training is what happens when you get hijacked, ambushed by dopamine. Yeah. So now the thing is that, look, if you join the special forces or you join the army or anything, which I don't recommend anyone does, but I'm just saying if you did, yeah, one of the things they will teach you, right, and they will drill into you, is how to behave in an ambush, right? So like different, you know, you basically have the whole point is to train you until it becomes automatic. It becomes a habit, right? So what you need to do is when you get ambushed by dopamine, you need to train yourself to go through this process, right? And that's really what it is about. It's like when you get ambushed by dopamine, you need to go through this protocol, you could say. So, but one of the things that even before is understanding when, how, and why, and in what places and circumstances you get ambushed by dopamine. So that's the first thing, right? It's exactly what you said. It's the A. So it's A, B, C, D, right? Which is, A is awareness, right? Being aware of when and how and in what circumstances dopamine hijacks you. So let's take the example of someone who's, you know, an addicted to watching porn, for example, right? That's something maybe a lot of the youth, you know, struggle with, right? But you will find out, okay, you know, it's haram, hopefully you don't do it all the time, 24-hour. When does it happen? When do you find yourself watching porn, right? Is it, you know, when you've just drunk a bottle of Coke and ate a tub of ice cream and the lights are out and everyone's gone to sleep and it's dark and you're feeling tired and then you open the computer and then it's almost compulsive? So literally that's your triggers, right? You're beginning to think, oh my God, these are my triggers. You know what? If I don't eat lots of sugary stuff, I don't feel the same, right? Or if I don't open my computer at night when I'm tired, that's it. I'm not gonna, it's like you know, I'm giving some very, very superficial things, right? It could be anything. It could be you had an argument with your mum. You could have, you know, I don't know, whatever. You didn't go out and you didn't walk and take some exercise that day. I don't know. It could be hundreds of different things. But you will, when you start looking and when you start searching through all of the, wait a minute, what happened, right? What happened to me before? Everything, I'm talking about every environmental factor, even smell. You know, what did you smell? What did you see? What did you hear? So that's looking for your triggers, because you may be really shocked at what things trigger you, you know, to just for you to, you know, release that dopamine and for it to take over, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a huge thing, the whole environment. Now we talk about that in the course, you know, and that's like one of the things you have to practice, right? One of the things you have to practice is, you know, what are your triggers? What triggers you? Yeah.
And what's interesting about this, this, if you like, this flow chart, is that, like you rightly said, you know, dopamine is not a pleasure chemical, right? Dopamine is there to lead you to pleasure, but it doesn't mean that it does actually do that. One of the things that I was really inspired that after doing the course, I had to write a article to get into a course, right? And I decided to write on the willpower course, write on dopamine. And one of the fascinating things that I came across was this study about monkeys, which in which you had a light switch which used to flick, and the monkey used to go and press it, and then some food used to come out, so the monkey used to eat the fruit. And as soon as the monkey saw that thing, you had this huge spike in dopamine that he wanted to go for that thing. Every single time the light flashed, he could go press a button, eat the food, right? However, what happened is that when they introduced randomness into the equation, the dopamine actually increased, the level of dopamine, right? So because there was now uncertainty about this thing. And how this ties into pleasure is that there is the law of diminishing returns. So people indulge, they go to a buffet or they regularly eat. How do they feel afterwards? They feel miserable. And how do you feel when you haven't ate for 20 something hours in the summer when you're fasting, and then you have a date? That date tastes like it's the best. It fell out of Jannah, your plate.
It's true. So good.
Even water tastes sweet.
Yeah, everything tastes good. It's so true. And you know, that's one of the things, one of the interesting strategies that I teach, which is really counterintuitive, right? Like you wouldn't get this, almost definitely you wouldn't get this outside the course. And you know, I even, when I was teaching it, I thought to myself, this is questionable Islamically, from some perspective, right? But it actually, it's just like, if you really want to indulge, then indulge, right? Do it, right? However, do it mindfully, do it thoughtfully, do it knowing it's a decision that, yes, I've committed myself to something, but I'm going to do it, I'm going to break it. And that's after, you know, you've set some barriers in your way. Now, my rationale is, look, if you've gone through the process that I've taught already and you still are going to want to do it, right, you are going to do it. It's just like there's no, you're not going to be able to resist, right? The point here is that, but when you do indulge, you've got to be mindful, right? You've got to really think about every single bit of what you're doing. And actually examine yourself, am I enjoying this? Because as you said, Sabor, and this is so powerful, right? Dopamine drives you towards pleasure, but it doesn't mean that once you've actually done that thing, it's going to be pleasurable, right? Because sometimes the expectation of reward, is more powerful than the actual reward. It's just the expectation, right?
Yeah.
You understand? And think about that generally in your life. Think about anything, right?
The new iPhone.
You know, anyone who got married, yeah, I want you to remember all you brothers and sisters, yeah, who all the time in your life, all you could think about was, I want to get married. I want to get married. I want to get married. Like it obsessed. You were so obsessed with it. It's like literally the only thing that was on your brain. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the reality of being married like what you were expecting in your head when you were dreaming about it nonstop every day for however many years it was? It's probably not. Most definitely, it's not. I'm not saying that to diss marriage. I'm just saying that.
No one in my house is watching, but yes, that's true. No, nothing.
No, I'm just... I don't know what you said there, bro. It sounded inflammatory. But I'm just saying that to prove my point. The expectation of reward is not like what actually happens. And and you know what? The key to all of this thing, bro, is another big topic, right? That is like so in at the moment. And it's the whole topic of mindfulness, right? And in a sense, my whole course, you could conclude it by, you know, almost by this topic of mindfulness. But that's a whole, to be honest, in a sense, it's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
Because mindfulness, as it's presented a lot now in the field of psychology, is like a lot of it's based on Buddhism and stuff like that, right? But obviously we have Islamic, we do have the concept of mindfulness, tadabbur, right? Thinking deeply and you know, shukr, and being truly grateful to Allah involves thinking deeply, right, about Allah's bounties and blessings, right? So yeah, anyway, masteryclasses.com, brothers and sisters. If you haven't signed up already, what are you doing? You're probably scrolling through your
This is actually a good time because there's going to be university students getting ready for exams. You know, they're like, and this happens to a lot of students, you know, they're like, they want to prepare for the exam. Instead, they find themselves scrolling for hours on Instagram, then getting upset. Yeah. Why do I have this habit? And they can't focus as well. They can't focus on on a particular task. The powerful thing about maintaining your maintaining awareness about the dopamine triggers is that it will then allow you to make small changes which can go very far. For example, you know, this is the culprit, right? This is the culprit. Phone's the culprit. So you need to study for an exam that's coming up. So you take your phone, you go put it in another room. It's a very simple thing. And that changes everything. Even having the phone with a screen, you know, towards the table, as in you can't see the notifications, it's still there. You can still reach it. And what you'll find, this happens to me, I'm not sure if it happens to other people. I'm sure it does, is that when you leave the phone next door, you still actually, now and again, you just touch your pocket, you touch your, because you just expect it to be there.
The precious.
My
precious. Where's my precious? Yeah, no, I mean, it's true. But I mean, that's, you know, that's a simple strategy. But I guess the course is teaching, you know, a wider, much wider range of things, right? Because look, like this stuff that, you know, that, like, okay, you can put your phone next door, right? But there's other things that you have to understand about why you find it so hard to resist temptation. And all of that will determine, like, you need to plan your day. If there's things that you're doing that is going to involve, you know, applying willpower, a lot of willpower, you actually need to plan your day around it because you're going to be depleted, right? Because your brain, like, the bottom line is, at the end of the day, you've only got so much energy to put into this, you know, this process of, you know, restraining yourself, right?
Yeah.
And so this is like, actually, that's literally the first pillar of willpower is understand that your willpower is limited. Understand that your ability to restrain yourself is limited, right? It's not endless. You don't have endless amounts of energy to do that, right? And so, yeah, you could put, you know, you're a student, you could put your, but, you know, if you're a student and you have a job, and if you're a student and, you know, you're living in a really stressful home environment, you're a student and, you know, whatever, it, any type of, implementing any type of willpower strategy is going to become increasingly difficult. Why? Because you're stressed out, right? So how do you deal with stress? That's another thing that I deal. I mean, how do you deal with stress within the context of building your willpower? It's not like I don't have a whole how to deal with stress course, but I deal with like stress. That's actually the one of the pillars of willpower as well, dealing with stress, right? So it's the phone strategy is a good idea. It's a good little strategy, but you really do need to understand the subject a bit more holistically, right?
Yeah.
Because things will come into play that it's only when you know, it's one of those things when you know it, it's like, oh, I know what's going on now. I know what's happening, right? I know why so I think all of those things, when you have that knowledge, when you're armed with that knowledge, it just becomes a lot easier, right? The same with diet. How many people like just eat because of stress, not because they're hungry, because it's just the mechanism that they resort to when they're stressed out. It's called comfort eating, for example. Right.
Yeah.
So how do you build strategies around your willpower goals? And again, like, it's really important to have goals. We go back to that where we like started a bit, the importance of having goals and setting yourself targets.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that people actually have goals. They just don't achieve them. Like it's very hard to come across someone that
have a goal, bro. That's like easy. Like, yeah, I want to be a millionaire. That's my goal. Like, yeah, right. Okay. Like anyone can say that.
Yeah.
But obviously that goal setting, I mean, that's why I go through, one of the things I go through in the course is, almost like lots of people have heard of SMART goals. It's not going to be news to some people doing the course, but it's a good refresher, right? Mm-hmm. Just to understand, first of all, like, don't just have goals, right? But I mean, goal setting again is a whole different subject. We could have a whole course on, goal setting. And I don't want to get into that, but that's another thing.
Another thing I think we should touch upon, and this is for everybody to go to the link, Mastery Classes, sign up. You'll never come across, I think, a course where there's an entry barrier, and that's what you actually have here, because it's not like click here, yep, pay, sign up. It's actually like, no, pass this little exercise before we think you're worthy of doing the course.
I realized it only clicked to me that that's what we were doing a while ago. It's like literally we'd sort of done that, we'd created a barrier, right? And I'm not sure that was necessarily the intention, but it solves a problem that we had discussed, Like I said, we were discussing with Obeda exactly this problem. Like, you need willpower to do the willpower course. Well, why not have a mini course that everyone has to go through before they get to be able to sign up for it?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're not just here to take people's money. Yeah, that's not what it's about, right? Absolutely not. And to be honest, giving it to you for free wouldn't do you any favors either. And I've given it free. Almost every single person I gave it to free, I think except one, never did the course. Didn't even get beyond lesson one.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Why do you have to pay for it? You have to pay for it because that's part of what motivates you and forces you to actually do it and go through it.
It's very interesting you say that, because not just this course, there's many other courses out there which have that mechanism that you have to pay to join, and they know if they gave it for free, people wouldn't actually do it. Some information which is available freely online, people bother looking it up, because for this course it took you a lot of time and energy, go through all these articles and stuff. People just don't have that willpower. You just don't.
No, so, it takes time. And look, I mean, most of this stuff, you can read it in a book, but would I recommend people to pick up those books? Like I said, no. Most people, I wouldn't recommend them to read it. Can you find all this stuff? Yeah, you could trawl through the internet and read articles and this and that. But what you would never get is someone who's been through it, who's experienced it, who's taken this, all of this information, and then structured it in a way I don't think you will find, especially as a Muslim. If you want something that is framed in an Islamic framework, as far as I know, like, It doesn't exist. Mine's the only course out there that I know about, right? I haven't come. I'd be interested, but I don't think anyone else has done it.
Yeah. What's interesting is that, back in the school days, they used to roll out the old TV and show happening inside your body. And you don't know, okay, that's what's happening in my heart. That's what's happening in my lungs. So it's like seeing the inside view of addiction, the inside view of bad habits, because you get past the veneer. You get to see actually what's the weakest point. And the weakest point is get rid of the cue or understand the 10-minute rule. This thing, I mean, it's not going to last that long, right? All these types.
It doesn't last long,
And the good thing as well that I took away from the course, like I was saying to you before the live stream started, that
you remembered a lot of it, bro. Mashallah. I mean, listening to you, you did it 6 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And there's, bro, the amount of stuff that you are remembering from it is quite impressive. So you definitely, I mean, you didn't just watch it. You obviously did it, you practiced it, and you've used those strategies again and again in your life in the last 6 years, right?
Yeah.
And you haven't done the course twice, yeah?
No.
That's why I say, bro, I say if you do the course, right, if you actually do the course and apply the lessons, if it's no good for you, I will give you your money back. No questions asked. I would just make sure you do it. That's all I want you to do. Yeah. Do it. Do apply the strategies. And if you don't think it's worth it, you can have your money back.
Yeah. And you know, something which you mentioned, I think during I don't remember when you mentioned it, but it was very interesting. It was essentially that civilizations are built by people who know how to have self-control, who can look at a long-term vision and can they can give up instant gratification. So essentially, Islam as a system, it has these strategies to get people, okay, you cannot just find, you see alcohol, you can't just drink it. That person's not your wife. You can't be with them. Like, it has these rules, right? And it has these particular things. But in order for us to develop, not only in Islam, but also in terms of our personal development, we have to apply these rules at the most micro level. And the reason why I like the starting off with weight is because everybody has some issue with weight. Especially during Corona, like I put on 10 kg during Corona, like that's a lot of weight. I think maybe 12 actually. And a lot of people, like I met people when they came out of COVID, and they looked like they ate another person. They actually looked like, maybe they didn't go out for shopping and they just decided to grab in the neighbor or something. Some people are huge. One of the brothers, I'm not going to mention him now, I'll mention to him when the live stream ends. Because you get environmental changes after you get married, right? So when you get married, the wife is trying to make you happy, trying to make you eat more food and stuff. The brother, and you know this brother, and I'm going to tell you afterwards who it is. He put on 35 kg after he
got married. Oh, my God.
35 kg. And, in a way, at the time he told me, I could see it. I could actually see the weight on him, So
35.
Yeah, and if you cannot control, say the basic thing like your the temptation of food, how can you control yourself from any other temptation? Like, how can you have any self-control? Do you see? Like, it's the most basic thing.
Yeah, I mean, and also, to be honest, it leads to other things. You know, when you indulge yourself by eating a lot, you'll sleep a lot. And you'll do a lot of other stuff as well. It's just like, in a sense, it's very often the trigger to many, many other things as well. But the willpower course is definitely not a diet course. But but having said that, you absolutely, for me, that's what I used it for. For me, that's actually what I used it for. The first thing I used it was to lose a bucket load of weight. Yeah. I just found a diet that worked for me. I applied all the techniques and strategies that I'd learned in the willpower course. And this is before I actually did the course, right? I lost a lot of weight. I thought, wow, this is amazing. And like I said, I use those same willpower strategies in many other things and realized that, wait a minute, this is helping me in my private life. This is helping me in my working life. This is like it had, but And I thought, I have to do a course on this, right? And yeah, literally, bro, Sabor, I had done everything. I still have the notes, right? I'd written up all the notes. I'd even, you know, got to the stage where I had, no, I knew, I'd literally read, how, I don't know how many books. I'd read, you know me, yeah, plenty of books, yeah. I had all the notes. So the key now was to change from those notes into an actual script, yeah, right? Yeah. That was the hard bit,
yeah,
right? That was the bit where, and I thought, wait a minute, I know all these strategies. Let me apply the strategies I know, right, to actually doing the willpower course. So I set my, I went through the whole thing. I set the SMART goals. I gave myself a goal, and I did, bro. I set the bar so low, right? So low. It was ridiculous. I said to myself, and what was between me and doing it, bro? It was this, yeah, this flipping thing. I was spending so much time scrolling through the internet and blah, 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 right? I said, so this is what I said to myself. I will not allow myself to pick up this phone, right? Until I have done, how much do you think I set myself? How much time of actual script writing do you think I set?
About an hour.
10 minutes.
Wow, that's low.
10 minutes, bro. Literally, I had to negotiate with myself, right? It was me negotiating with myself, right? And, you know, that yeah, nutsy part of me was like, you know, was not like up for anything more than 10 minutes. It was like, it's only when I said 10 minutes, I said, okay, 10 minutes, I'll do 10 minutes. Yeah. I'll, you know, so it sort of gave in. Bro, obviously, but once you get into it, right? Once you're getting into it, I would sit for 2 hours. I wouldn't even look at my phone. I wouldn't even eat. I wouldn't even have a cup of coffee. I'm just like, just on it, right? So, but, yep. And you know, and I just applied the strategies. I did the 10 minute, well, it's 10 minutes because it's a 10 minute rule, isn't it, bro? But, you know, it's like, yeah, I applied all those strategies that I learned. And subhanAllah, I think within, you know, within a month, I'd, you know, not only had I done the script, I'd filmed the course and, you know, did it all, released it all myself as well. Like I didn't even have any, now there's a whole team, you know, helping, but before it was just like, just me. I just did it and I put it on LinkedIn and, you know, I don't think there were that many people on my Facebook either then. So, yeah, but alhamdulillah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah. How much weight did you lose in that?
Bro, I lost a lot. A lot. Yeah. I never really calculate. I didn't really weigh myself, right? It's more like, how did my trousers, like none of my trousers fit me anymore. Like really they did. Like, bro, you're talking about inches. Yeah. You're talking about inches on my trousers, right? Like, yeah, I had to literally get a new wardrobe. So I didn't weigh myself because it's not about weight. You know, obviously if you're doing gym work and you're building muscle, you can actually put on weight. You can actually,
yeah, yeah.
Right, but you'll actually be slimmer because muscle is heavier than fat, right? Mm. So I don't think anyone should be concerned with weight loss. You should be concerned with fat loss, right? And being, you know, healthy and stuff like that. Obviously, weight can sometimes be, you know, the way to measure it. But the stuff you really want to lose is the flab. That you want to lose the flab. You want to lose the belly, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually remember we did a course in Oxford around 2013, and that's when your weight, I remember, was I think the biggest that it been. And then within a short period of time since you started going on, I think it was the paleo diet.
Yeah. I
remember just eating these things. It's quite funny because I think you were also like with like, you wouldn't eat naan. You just go to a wedding or talk and just eat the curry.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, literally curry and salad. I still do that. I mean, I have a little bit now. I'm not quite so strict, but yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
But then I was super strict.
Yeah. I remember I used to, I got you a ghee from an Asian shop. Yeah, and you loved it. It's like the weird, most awkward present you can give someone. Here's some ghee you can't get in Shropshire.
Yeah, well, no, you can get everything now for
and oh, you can, yeah, yeah, and yeah. I remember. I mean, it must have been something close to 15 kg at least.
Bro, at least. I was. Oh, bro, no, I'm probably 15 kg now. I was like 18, 19. Like, at my worst, you didn't even know me when I was at my worst, bro.
Really?
At my worst, yeah. At my worst, I must have been 19 kg.
No, not 19. You mean stone. 19 stone.
19 stone, yeah. 19 stone.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, wait.
Yeah. So 15. So I'm probably about 15 now, 15 and a half, maybe 16 stone. But then I was like 19 stone.
Yeah. And then when we had the campaign, What's Your Goal? By that time, you were actually a lot slimmer. I remember that because of the T-shirts. You can tell by the T-shirts how the person expands or shrinks.
Oh, bro, some of those T-shirts. My wife used to complain so much. I'm just looking for, yeah, I've got some pictures here, yeah? So okay. Here's a picture of me, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see that, right?
Yeah, I can see.
A picture of me on my bike.
Oh.
I was still pretty fit, right? I mean, yeah, I was overweight. I was still pretty fit, yeah? I was still biking a lot, but that's it. That was my belly, yeah? And that was me not even sticking it out. I mean, I can still even, you know, I could stick it out now and it could look pretty bad, right? And then, and look at that, bro.
Mashallah. Yeah, yeah.
And that's me cool. Not even holding it in. That's just me standing straight. So that was after, yeah. I mean, that was literally, you know, before and after, you know, and it wasn't like a special diet. Yeah, I suppose paleo was a special diet, which I sort of, it's a sort of my diet now. It's just, I try to live like that. I'm not super strict with it. And it's funny, like the degree to which I'm strict with it, I sort of, my weight fluctuates. So, but yeah. Because for a bit I went off paleo, I started eating bread again. It just flipping just went downhill. I just blew up again, you know. And I think that's one of the hard things. Maintenance is always a hard thing. Like, I don't think it's relatively easy to lose weight. And I say relatively. What is quite hard and challenging is maintenance. And, you know, although I discussed that in the Willpower course, to be honest, it's not. You know, it is one of the hardest things. That's a real challenge.
Just on that point, we haven't plugged it in a while. Please go to the website.
Mastery classes.
Mastery classes. The link is in the description. And I think this is a good segue for you to actually summarize what are the seven pillars of willpower.
The seven, you landed me in it now, bro, isn't it? So the first pillar is willpower is limited. That's the first pillar.
And let's start off with, you know, Allah being the ultimate willpower, how you normally start.
Yeah, obviously, you know, the ultimate will is Allah. I mean, that's what I guess we think, you know, Allah, kun fayakun. That's it with Allah, just being it is. That's the ultimate willpower. You just say something and it happens. And so I think that a lot of people misunderstand and they think that that's what willpower is. It's a sort of some sort of magical ability to think something into existence. But it's not, right? That's not what we mean by willpower psychologically. So, you know, I find a lot of works, a lot of things that criticize willpower, often they don't understand it. They don't even, you can tell when they're the way they're writing about it is that you're not writing about something that exists or anyone thinks exists. Yeah. It's your, some mythology you have in your head. And then they go on to describe, no, what you really need is this, which is actually willpower. They're just describing the various strategies and techniques, which is, that's all willpower is, just being good. Like, people who are naturally like that, they're just, you know, they make it fun. I guess that's what they found about kids, is they don't find it difficult to resist temptation, and probably because they found it fun ways of, you know, of resisting, you know. So the first pillar is know that willpower is limited. There's the dopamine.
Just on that point, I think we should elaborate on something. Having an argument, right, is one of the, I think you use this analogy. If you didn't, then, but you think of it like an energy bar, right? So the energy bar goes down as you're depleting your willpower throughout the day. And, you know, it goes down, say, in a gradual way. This is maybe perhaps why people like Steve Jobs and others, they don't even bother like spending time thinking about what they need to wear, because they'll wear the same clothes every day.
Yeah.
Because they're like, they just want to make simple decisions, right? But then if you have an argument with someone, you actually have this supercharged drop. It just drops like half or whatever. And you will find people indulge or they fall into a bad habit or whatever after that have an argument. So
absolutely.
Having these types of stress, I mean, stress, again, is one of those things that can also deplete your willpower. So I think willpower being limited, I think you also used the example of judges in Israel once.
Yeah, no, that's a very interesting. I mean, one of the things that I did, listen, one of the things that I avoided, and this was I did this on purpose. I could have put a lot of scientific experiments in it. Like some of them are so fascinating. And to be honest, when I was reading the literature, this is the stuff that I found really fascinating. You know, some of the experiments they did with mice and experiments they did with humans and stuff. I mean, I find that stuff really fascinating, but it's not practical, right? I just wanted to make the course short and practical, but I found this stuff fascinating. So yeah, the judges in Israel, basically very simply is that when judges were given, and these are parole, this is the parole board in Israel. Yep. Basically, when criminals came in front of them looking for parole, they basically, if you came in front of the judges in the morning, you got parole. And if you came to the judges in the afternoon, you didn't. And the reason is because the judges in the afternoon were tired. And when they were tired, they just defaulted to what they thought was the safest choice, which was just let them go back to prison, right? Because they were just too exhausted from examining everybody's circumstances and thinking about it, right? So they just defaulted to what they thought was the safest option, right? That's a whole thing, you know, like a whole thing in Islam about when you should make decisions as a judge, right? And very important for, you know, any future CEO for an organization also to think about when they are making decisions, right? Don't make decisions when you're tired. Don't make decisions when you're exhausted, you know? Go away and sleep about it. Give it a day. Right, make istikhara. This is one of the things I teach in the course. Go and pray 2 rakat, make istikhara. Right, you don't need to give it 10 minutes, just go and pray 2 rakat. Right, even better. I think the main thing is like don't make decisions when you're tired and exhausted because your ability to make good decisions just depletes, right? And that's what they call willpower depletion. That's what it is, basically. Yeah. That your ability to make good decisions is going to decrease over time. And especially it's compounded by, like you said, things like stress and, you know, all those type of things just compounds the depletion of your willpower.
And just on that point, so what's that last point you mentioned just before this? Because there's something very interesting. You mentioned the judges and then, making decisions, right?
Yeah.
So this is very interesting. I was watching a video of the Amazon guy, Jeff Bezos, and it's quite funny. You would think he's going to be working hard at a desk all the time, stressed, his hair's falling out, stressed, and this and that. But he looks like an extremely slothish person, if that's even a word. Like, he's the human embodiment of a sloth. Like, he says, look, I sleep well. I sleep like he gave this, I think, 8 hours or something, right? Yep. And for a CEO of such a busy company, and he said, all I need to do is make a few good decisions a day and I'm done. Like, that's all I got to do. I got to rest. I got to have a clear mind and I got to think about 2 or 3 decisions a day. And that's it. Like, that's what he's boiled down his business day to. You would think he's going crazy, calling people this, that. Yeah. But actually, that's what he does. And he's, I think, the richest man before the divorce.
I think Elon Musk is who did work his really hard. But that was a different circumstance. And I'm definitely from the look, you work when you have to, bro. Like, I don't think Elon Musk worked because he had to. He didn't have a choice. His back was against the wall and there was no one else to do what he could. You know, he couldn't, like he said, I was looking for good, you know, space engineers and I couldn't find them. So I had to do it myself. He literally took the job, literally did all the studying, took the job himself. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the bottom line is you're right. It's way better to be in the right frame of mind to make a few good decisions. And all of that is about willpower, being in the right frame of mind, being in the right situation, you know, and you compound it. That's the other thing, bro. you know, it sounds like nothing, three good decisions a day, right? But, you know, that's 21 good decisions, you know, a week, right? That compounds itself pretty well, right? 64 good decisions, to 84 good decisions a month, right? I mean, when a good decision is, you know, makes you, you know, 20 million bucks, 30 million bucks, right? Boom. Yeah. You know, it builds up, and that's the whole thing. I mean, I don't really cover that, but that's a whole topic of atomic habits, right? It's not just building habits, but these little habits, these little changes. And this is another thing. Don't, you know, we often don't. And one of the things I tell everyone to do, I don't want to sort of give it away, to be honest. You know,
yeah.
The first thing I tell everyone to do, but I give everyone the first task I give everyone to do is a very small little habit, by way, which I still do until today. Do you remember what it is? The first habit I tell everyone to start your day with something. But anyway, don't say what it is.
Oh yeah.
No, don't say what it is, but I do it until now, until today, bro. Before I pray Fajr, I do it. But anyway, so
this is a very good habit.
And, yeah, and it is. Yeah. So yeah, so second pillar is know your triggers. Yeah, the second pillar is know your triggers. We talked about that already. The third is understanding dopamine. We've talked about that. The fourth trigger is counter ambush training, which is like a go through. What is cat? How do you prepare yourself? I go through the whole thing, which is like A, B, C, D, you know, 4 or 5 points, I think. Yeah. And then there's the infection effect, which we talked about as well, right? So we literally covered the whole course today, bro, like the effect of your environment, the effect of your friends, your family, stuff like that. I talk about stress management, which is the sixth pillar, manage your stress, right? How can you manage stress? Because it's the single biggest killer of your willpower is stress. The less stress you have in your life, the better and the better decisions you're going to make. And, you know, the seventh one is surf the urge, right? So when you get the urge, it's little. Yeah, it's my favorite one too.
I'm gonna have to interrupt you there. Sorry, Sheikh. I have to interrupt you there. That is the best. It's like the best thing ever. Because it's like you almost indulge, but you don't.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. The beautiful thing is it's not combative. It's like GORAP. Yeah, it's not a combat system, right? Yeah. GORAP works with the best part of people, which is their akal, right? So the same thing with surf the urge. It's just like saying, yeah, I know you want that chocolate, right? You say to yourself, I know you want to eat it. And, you know, it's beautiful, it's good and thing, but, you know, let's not do that now. Let's not make that. And like, so that the urge is like, you imagine like it's a big wave, right? Instead of trying to fight the wave and trying to hold the wave back, which you can't, you literally get on your surfboard and you surf, but you just go with the urge. Yeah, you just go with it and you let it sweep over you and you just let it go. And some people say it's like clouds, you know, you just let clouds pass over, right? Or the other one that I really like, the example, I don't really use it, but I think different techniques work for different people, is like the bus. You know, you're sitting in a bus and there's all these people talking. Yeah. And then basically one by one, they get off the bus, right? And then you're just left in peace and quiet, right? So they're different techniques, but it's the same thing. The whole thing is just to allow yourself that urge that you get. And this is to do with something that we talk about, is that old habits never die, right? Yeah. Because one of the things you find is that if you have a bad habit, it actually apparently never leaves you. It's ingrained in your brain forever, right? All you can do is write over it stronger habits. But that also explains sometimes, which is not a dopamine thing, but it's just that sometimes suddenly you just get this urge, or you thought you'd killed it, right? You thought it had gone. Right, so surfing the urge is really useful for dealing with that. Best. Yeah,
it's the best. It's like, I'm not sure where it fits, and actually, it doesn't fit in surf the urge. There's another thing that you mentioned in between somewhere, and I found this really like I've had to apply it in the last couple of days because I started messing up on my OMADs, 1 meal a day. It's a setback, is not a reset.
Where does that fit? I'm not sure under which, because obviously there's more than five. I just narrowed it down to seven pillars, but within those seven pillars, there are many, many other really important things like Oldify. I tell people to use the Oldify app because, you know, you very rarely, you know, we're not good at long-term thinking, basically.
Yeah.
We're not good at long-term decisions, right? So, you know, we don't even think of ourselves when we're older as ourselves. We think of ourselves, and it's shown through brain scans, that when we think of ourselves, you know, in 20 years' time, we don't think of that as ourselves. We think of it as a totally different person. Yeah. But the things you do right now is actually going to affect what you're going to be like in 20 years. So, the other thing you were saying, that a setback. So this is the hardest thing of all. The hardest thing in willpower is maintenance, is keeping it going, right?
Yeah.
And the key to this, is it doesn't matter. It's human being. It's human to fail. You are going to fall. You are going to fail. You are going to get to this place and you're going to fall down on your face again. It doesn't matter. You just keep on getting up. Like they say, you know, you're a kid. Like when you were a baby, if you fell over twice when you were learning to walk, that's it. You'd still be crawling around, right? But you don't. You get up and you keep trying because you want to do it. And that's it. The main thing is, just because you had a setback, it doesn't mean you just give up, because it's called the what the hell effect. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
What the hell, man? I've just eaten one chocolate. I might as well eat 10.
Don't
think like that. It's okay to eat some chocolate. If you're, you know, say that you decide I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to have sugar anymore ever. Okay. Yeah. So you had some. It doesn't matter. Don't allow that. What the hell? That's it. I've done it. I'm not going to bother anymore. This is a big mistake. Yeah. This is shaitan. Big trick of shaitan. Yeah. It's like, and that's why sometimes you allow yourself to indulge. You give yourself 10 minutes. If you really want to do it, you do it. And don't think that, just because you've had a setback, it's not a reset, you know? And even with me, it happened. Like alhamdulillah, I lost weight really well. And then I just went down this path of, I don't know what happened. And even looking back now, I don't know what happened. It's just bit by bit by bit, I allowed it to get out of control. And then I reached the stage when I really did realize it's just the sugar. It's the sugar. It's the bread. Yeah. It's the refined carbs. It's just firing off all that addiction in my head. And you just want to eat more and more and more. You just want more and more. You can never get enough of it.
You're insatiable like that.
It's insatiable. So I just realized that, you know what, that diet, that paleo diet, that's for me. It's not for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So it worked for me, and I thought, no, I need to go back to that. You know, it's never too late. It doesn't mean just because you've done this, whatever. So that's it. You know, that's also very, very, there's a lot of powerful stuff in there, bro. And Marshall, I have to say, the fact that you remembered so much of it, it's like more than I did the course, and I built the course, and it's like, now that you're saying it, it's like, oh yeah, I remember that, and I remember this. And of course, to be honest though, I remember all of these things, these strategies constantly, you know, I use them all the time. I use them all the time, bro. Yeah. It sounds like, I don't know how long we've been talking, but mashallah, we've covered so much stuff.
1 hour, 20 minutes nearly.
And that's probably, to be honest, that's probably the length of all the videos together in the course.
Yeah. Yeah. The difference is obviously that you can't watch all the videos in one go, which is important.
Because you shouldn't. You can, but you really shouldn't. It would be so hard to do that. And it's structured in a way to give you these little exercises and to build it into, you know, and to build it. So you actually, you know, that's how I think you've probably retained it so well, because you followed the program, you did the exercises, you actually implemented it, you actually practiced it. And that's the huge difference, is actually, you know, doing it.
Yeah. And giving yourself a really small goal. So do you remember we were doing, I mean, I had a bit of a advantage, but it, like, I was talking to you about the course while I was doing it, but it doesn't matter. Anybody that does it, they can actually,
they can ask me questions. They can write in the comment section, and I get an email in my inbox, you know, and I reply, you know,
Sheikh. Yeah. How have people received this? Are there any people out there who've said, we did the course and it helped us? And
I mean, bro, people have called it literally life. I mean, it's such a cliche, you know, but it is literally life changing.
Yeah.
You know, people have said, you know, people don't understand why everyone is not doing it. People have said this is phenomenal, right? Like some of the feedback has just been so, you know, it just hasn't been done by that many people. And sadly, there's people who have bought it who I can see, because I can see on my, you know, on the matrix thing, I can actually see, you know, not that I spy on anything, but no, I literally don't. I mean, I could do, I could say, right, I'm going to make sure you do this, guys, with a stick. And who knows, maybe I'll do a retreat where, you know, literally everyone's there and you've got no choice, you know.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, it would be good. I think it would be. But I can see a lot of people have not even looked at all the videos, or they do two or three. It's sad, you know. So even paying for it, it's not going to guarantee that you do it, you know. But people who have done it, I mean, I guess possibly one of the comments I'm most proud of is a sister who's actually, you know, a trained, qualified and practicing psychologist, right? Who basically said, this course is so excellent. This is so good. She loved the way that I incorporated lots of Islamic values into it. It made it very special and unique. She said no one else that she knows of has done anything like this. And she just wishes that all the youngsters out there, especially, you know, the youth, would be able to do a course like this. So for me, it was like really affirming. It was like, okay, that's, you know, that really is the sort of thing I wanted to hear from someone like that, because it's like, yeah, that's what I was trying to achieve. You know, I was trying to bring, you know, some of these insights that we've gained, and a lot of them are not new, to be honest. It's like stuff we know in Islam already, right?
Yeah.
It's just that they've sort of reinforced it and discovered it, you know, from some type of scientific, you know, experimentation, rather than just some of it's just sort of intuitive guesswork, right? I'm not talking about the stuff that we know from Quran and Sunnah, but in the sense from our scholars and our ulama, yeah, they looked into these matters deeply. They had students. So they're talking from their experience. But, you know, when scientists actually do stuff and experiment on mice and identify actual chemicals that affect your brain in a certain way that are released due to this and that, it just gives it a whole different perspective, right? And it makes you think, wow. I mean, first of all, you think, wow, our scholars, like what insight they had, you know, that they got a lot of this stuff. But then, you know, obviously some things you find out were not true, you know, that were actually, you know, that actually caused by this or that rather than, you know, what someone else thought it was, you know, which is also quite important to just try and get it right. And it shows as well that this whole field is constantly changing. I think one of the main things of all as well, right, I'll be honest, is I think a lot of the language of what is called tasawwuf and tazkiyat al-nafus and like, bro, it's like old. And I don't mean it in a derogatory way. And you'll know this from another book that I'm, you know, I don't want to mention it again. Well, I mean, I guess for your audience, probably they could handle it, right? But it's, the book Flow, the classic study on happiness by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. I can't remember how you pronounce his name, but absolutely amazing book. He's an atheist, by the way. If you read it, there's going to be some kufr in there, right? So, but that book, you know, again, he identifies some things, you know, really, really powerful and important things about what makes people happy. And again, like not everything that we understood intuitively was necessarily right. You know, some things were, you know, you find with experimentation were not quite right. But yeah. Anyway, it's very interesting subject, huge subject. But
yeah, absolutely. And this is something which, you know, will help us develop in our Islam, because essentially a lot of, a lot of young people, and it's a very good trait, you know, they want to be students of knowledge. They want to, you know, have a structured way of learning Islam. And that requires a lot of willpower and a lot of these types of strategies. Something that just came to my mind when I was thinking, when you were speaking, was that Sheikh Albani actually used to do these water fasts, right? And some say 30 days, some say 40 days. He actually wrote about them, and I actually checked this with a scholar. He said, yeah, he did. So the amount of willpower you need to have to not eat for like a month, like, and just drink water for a month, is incredible. And how did they have it? Well, generally, if somebody wants to be an Islamic scholar or just, you know, even just a general academic, you have to have an incredible amount of willpower. So therefore, you can transfer it to other parts of your life because you're going to apply it to education. Education requires a lot of willpower because you have to essentially do an activity which is going to induce a lower dopamine a trigger than something else, than your phone or whatever. So you're competing, you know, with all these other things. The other thing which I found online was people go through these dopamine fasts, right? I've actually tried them. They're very interesting. It's where you lower your dopamine to a level such that you can do low-level dopamine activities much easier. So some people do a week, some people do a day, some people do a few hours, and you can actually, people have said that you can concentrate more, you feel better, and actually that some people do some really weird things, like they'll watch a clock go around for an entire hour. They won't do anything. They won't think about their friends and family, go on the phone, or talk to anybody, or they'll read the back of a toothpaste, you know, the ingredients, something really incredibly boring. They'll lower their dopamine threshold in order to have that willpower. So in many, many ways, this is a pandemic that people have problems with scrollism, they have problems with addictions, and all over the internet, people are trying to find ways of solving this problem. And here we have a course which actually deals with it. It's a course which can actually, rather than you spending countless hours looking at this video, this article, summarizing it, and going through essentially decision paralysis, because I think some stuff online contradicts other stuff. You just have a set structure that you can actually follow. You're muted, Sheikh. You're muted. You're still muted. I'm not muted. You are muted. I can see you're muted. If you look at your name, next to it, you have the mute sign. And I can't unmute you because you can only unmute yourself. Maybe if I remove you and add you, nope. Nope, no sound. I can remove you from the studio and you can click on the link again. I can remove you from the studio, Sheikh, and you can come back again.
Is that it?
That's it, done.
Okay, so the reason I was looking up like that is because I have a monitor. So I have a camera set up here, and behind the camera, I have a monitor so I can see you. So it looks as if I'm looking at you rather than looking at my computer screen. So if I was trying to look at you, do you get what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yep. Like what I'm doing, I'm looking at you.
When I move my screen from my lap, my laptop onto that monitor, I can't see the. Somehow I must have moved it and muted it. I don't know what happened, bro. But anyway, yeah. What were you saying, bro? Because it was like really interesting. I thought I wanted to say something.
What I was basically saying, I was speaking about
about people being able to concentrate and stuff like that. Again, look, you're right. The course covers a lot of that stuff. And you know what I've realized, bro, I do need to probably do another two or three courses, right? Not big ones, but you know, they would be really great to have. One of the things I wanted to do was just a sort of practical course on how do you use what you've learned in the course to control anger? How do you use what you've learned in the course to actually lose weight? So it's like a practical, you know, like it only needs to be a couple of videos long, but I thought it would be really good. Here are the strategies. Here's how you apply it to anger management. Here are the strategies. Here's how you apply it to, but also like you said, just maybe rearranging some of the things and, you know, for example, the whole topic of focus, a lot of the stuff is covered in my course, but it needs to be refocused for focus, if you get what I'm saying. It needs to be, in a sense, presented in a different way, yeah, in order to be able to, you know, develop your focus better. You just need to, you know, rearrange it. And again, like, I guess most people who are reasonably, you know, I don't want to say intelligent, but people who've got the time and energy can easily do that, right? They can say, okay, I get this information. I can use this information now to develop my focus. But for some people, they don't have the time, you know, so you just need to spell it out for them, plain and simple, right? You do it like this and this and this.
Yeah, clarity is power.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, in fact, clarity is part of having willpower. So me and someone else are in this office right now, and if I had to go to the shop to get, I don't know, fruit or something, and I actually knew the route to the shop, and the other person had to get on their phone and find it, it's the same task, but clarity in one would make it easier for me. I'd be more motivated, which is why, it's, again, with goal setting, you have the chili pepper approach. So you break down your goals into sub-goals and these types of things, and then those are the things that you get dopamine triggers from. You know, you celebrate those achievements.
And that's another interesting thing. It's one of the things I actually don't cover in the course a lot. I don't even think I cover it at all, which is very interesting, because I remember when in our discussions you actually pointed it out. You said, you know what, Abdurrahim, couldn't you actually use dopamine to achieve your goals? You could actually incentivize yourself by dopamizing particular objectives. And absolutely, it is actually one of the strategies. It's one of the really clever strategies that you can use, is that when you've achieved your goal, right, you actually celebrate it with something, right, that's actually going to spark your dopamine, which, guess what that does? It motivates you more to, you know, achieve your goal. The only thing they say is you shouldn't do is don't use something that contradicts your objective. So if you're trying to give up chocolate, you don't reward yourself by eating chocolate, right? So if I've given up chocolate for a week, now I'm going to have a bar of chocolate. No, you don't do that, right? So like, as long as the you know, the way you dopamize your objective doesn't contradict the actual objective, yeah, that's a good thing to do as well. But I think naturally that happens. Again, if you go and you look to you know, Mahaley Csikszentmihalyi, and you look at this whole thing that, you know, achieving flow, when you get in that state of flow, that itself is the most deeply satisfying and profoundly transforming experience, amongst the most deeply satisfying experiences humans can have. And then people just look for that experience anyway, right? That itself becomes something that a person like aims for. Just that feeling that of having achieved that, and that you went through that struggle, you went through all that difficulty, you achieved that objective. The satisfaction that comes from that is unparalleled. That literally, that is optimal, what they call optimal experience, the peak of human experience, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And should we leave it there, bro? It's been amazing discussion. I think we could probably go on for another couple of hours, bro. It's been so fascinating.
Mastery classes, whatever it is in the description.
Masteryclasses.com,
.com.
Yeah.
And you can sign up and enjoy. I mean, look, let's just summarize here. This is not just, okay, I mean, people sell courses all the time online, some good, some mediocre. But this is something which we didn't rehearse this. Like, 6 years later, I do remember most of this. In fact, Shikrin, I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
I asked Obeda, one of the guys, to basically, I said, please give me the login. I want you to refresh it. And even before this live stream, I was panicking because whatever. And I was like, oh, no, I should have done the course again. Yeah. But I didn't. And actually, it worked in our favor, because I wanted to do the course before jumping on the live. And I didn't need to. I didn't need to at all. So, yeah.
You actually remembered a lot of stuff, mashallah. I'm like really impressed. Alhamdulillah. And there's more, actually, to be honest, there's way more stuff than even we discussed. Right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a few things we didn't even talk about, we didn't even cover. you know, and the funny thing is, bro, different people will find different things useful. That's the other thing. Right. Like, something we didn't talk about is, I mentioned it very briefly, but that's, you know, projecting yourself, thinking about yourself, you know, when you're 60, thinking about yourself when you're in the old age, right? And that, I mean, that particular thing had a big, that was a big motivating factor for me to lose weight, because, as you know, my dad was quite overweight, although he was very fit and very physically fit and stuff like that, incredibly for his age. He was actually, and it actually damaged him quite badly in terms of physically, and you know, led to well, in the end it was all good, alhamdulillah. I became Muslim, alhamdulillah. But you know what? The point being, it's like, I wouldn't want to go through that. If I can avoid going through that, I would, which was a big motivating factor for me. So, like, different things will motivate and help people in different ways. And I guess that's why you want to do the course and find out for yourself.
Absolutely. Excellent. So right, let's end it there. We should do probably another live stream. I actually miss these live streams we used to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Why did we stop, bro?
Lack of willpower. I think there was lack of willpower on my end, actually. So yeah, let's end it there. Please go to masteryclasses.com, sign up, and you will have signed up to a life-changing course. So until next time, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.